album's named after this piece. This is like a 2-minute flute piece that she wrote. Catherine Chernauskas commissioned it. She was creating a series of flute books for young players, and part of these books were it was twofold, to introduce young players to Canadian music and also to begin to teach them sort of like the beginnings of extended techniques. And this piece plays with color trills, so like, just variations of the same note but using different fingerings. And it's called Artemis Sleeps, because it's about the moon, but it's not so much about the moon or the waxing and waning of the moon, but rather how the world responds to it, And again, so it's like it has this sort of nocturnal theme that was also going through Vespertine, this idea of, sort of lovers meeting, or it's an idea of like, nocturnal animals frolicking. You get this sort of like that sense of nocturnal activity going through the piece. So it's less about, Artemis herself, but how the world reacts to her and to her, and to the waxing and waning of the moon. So it's a very sort of sweet, compact little piece.
That's flutist Mark McGregor talking about the piece I opened up the program with today called Artemis Sleeps by Jocelyn Morlock. And Mark is the flutist and producer of this album, Artemis Sleeps. It is the first album since the unexpected passing of Jocelyn Morlock in 2023 to celebrate her music. And there are more albums planned, which is really, really exciting. Welcome to Relevant Tones. I'm Seth Bosted. My guest on the program today is Mark McGregor. I had the chance to catch up with Mark and talk with him about Jocelyn's life and about this album. And I'm so happy that there is more of Jocelyn Morlock's music being professionally recorded and will be released in the future. But this is a great place to start, Artemis Sleeps, which features, not surprisingly, a lot of flute music. So here is my conversation with Mark, and I'll also feature several of the tracks on this album. I only met Jocelyn once, but we hung out for several days in a row when World Music Days was in Vancouver.
Right, yeah.
I think in 2019, maybe 2018 or 19.
17, I think,
Oh
actually.
God, oh my God, so long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met David Pei, who runs Music on Main Street, or did
Right.
at the time. I met Jocelyn, I met a few other people, and it seemed like a really great community, and I just had a ton of fun. Which I've gone to ISEM many times, and usually I just wind up hanging out with the people that I already knew. But Vancouver was cool. I mean, I met all these new people,
Oh yeah.
and they were the ones I hung out with. So
That's
it seemed
really
like a
cool.
nice community. Yeah, like a really cool scene there.
I remember that being really, really fun. I mean, it was exciting for us, right? So as because I'm a flutist, and so I was performing on a number of the concerts, and it was my first ISCM. And yeah, Jocelyn was there as sort of like a not as an ambassador, but sort of like as a, I think as a co-host. And it is, you mentioned sort of like it being a really good community. It is a really fun and tight-knit community here. It's kind of like it's a bit of a chosen family, I think. And so, and we're very, it's, I think a lot of other contemporary music communities can be very competitive and stuff like that. And I think we're actually, Vancouver's too small for it to be sort of hyper-competitive. So we tend to try to support one another as much as we can. So, yeah. And I thought there was a lot of that whole week, or however long it was, there was a lot of really cool interactions, and I met a lot of really cool people, and yeah.
So tell me about the album, this new
Yeah.
album. When is it coming out? What was the impetus behind it? Tell me about the album.
So the album's called Artemis Sleeps, and it's coming out on July 30th, and it's kind of like my own personal overview of Jocelyn's music, as it pertains to chamber music and the flute specifically. It was after she died, I was part of a team of people who were sort of reconstructing her website. And so for me, it was sort of like my own little therapy project, I think, because we were quite close. We were roommates for a long time. And during the pandemic, we were like in each other's, bubbles. So, we'd have dinner together and things like that. And so for me, it was just sort of like, it was kind of a therapeutic activity to sort of go through all of like her works and sort of compile them, and rewrite the biography and get everything sort of ready for like a new website. And I realized that there was actually a bunch of pieces of hers that were specifically for the flute or featured the flute in some capacity that I thought, you know, this is actually really nice. This would make a nice album, but it was also sort of like it was a nice, it seemed like a really good project for me as a way of just sort of like processing a lot of feelings that I had and just sort of coming to terms with everything that had happened over the last over the last year or so, and it sort of grew from there, and it was we recorded it last year, and I don't know. Yeah, it sort of features it features like about 25 years worth of music, and some like right from the very beginning, like the first piece I ever commissioned of hers, right up until about 2021, a piece that she wrote for my aunt's 80th birthday. So there's a real overview of music. There's a real sort of array of different players, and it's a, it was a real sort of, it was a bit of a love fest actually, because I think it was something that a lot of us really wanted to do. And it was really sort of exciting to be able to reach out to people and have people sort of respond. It's like, oh my God, I've been waiting for something like this to happen, you know? I feel like the rest of Canada was sort of like responding to Jocelyn's death in different ways. Like there were concerts in Toronto and Montreal and in Winnipeg. And I felt like, I mean, we obviously were doing things here in Vancouver, but, you know, I feel like we were sort of processing a lot more emotions. And so it maybe felt like it was a bit slower, but this felt really good, you know, to be able to create something that for me was really meaningful. And the more and more I talk to people, it seems it was quite meaningful for other folks in the community here too. Thank you.
That's the first movement, called Twilight, of a larger work called Vespertine. Let's hear Mark tell us more about it.
The first movement is quite epic. It's sort of this idea is called Twilight, and it's this idea of sort of crepuscular activity, sort of this idea of night creatures and night flowers sort of coming to life after the sun sets. And obviously, it's sort of a very colorful thing. It starts very sort of like cautious and soft, and it becomes more and more active. And I always saw this piece as like a reflection of Jocelyn's own sort of work cycle, because she was basically nocturnal. Nick Storing, my publicist, actually found this old blog post that I did like in 2013 or something like this, where I was joking about how Jocelyn might be a vampire because she just worked like, you know, almost exclusively at night. And she actually resented the daylight hours, you know, and because they were sort of like they weren't as conducive to composing. And so she would actually try to create an environment that was sort of like, you know, imitate night, even in daylight hours. Like she'd shut out, like she had heavy curtains blocking out the her windows, and you know, she'd walk around the house in pajamas and a cup of tea and sort of thing. And it was night was always her favorite time to compose, you know. We had a one of when we were share, when we were roommates, we shared a our bedroom shared a wall. And her keyboard, she would like compose all night on an electronic keyboard, and she would have headphones. Obviously, she'd have headphones on, but you could hear her like thunking away on the keyboard at night. So like if you wake up like you know at any like at 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, you would hear like on the other side of the wall like she'd be thumping away on this keyboard, and you couldn't hear the music she was playing, but you hear this sort of like tucka 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 tucka, and there's something almost sort of like it was never like, you know, an irritating sound. If anything, there's something reassuring about hearing it. It's like, oh, she's working, you know. During the pandemic, my aunt was turning 80, and I wanted to do something like really special for the occasion. And I thought, you know, it'd be really lovely to actually have a song commissioned. And my aunt knew Jocelyn, you know, and so I thought it would be really lovely to have a song written by Jocelyn for that occasion. It's funny because it didn't end up happening on her birthday because of the pandemic. The performance didn't happen until like 2 years after. But we were looking at texts by Joy Kogawa, who's a Canadian poet and writer. And she picked this particular poem because it resonated with Jocelyn because it really has to do with sort of like, you know, familial ties. Joy Kogawa herself had a very complicated relationship with her father. And I think Jocelyn wanted to write a piece that really sort of delved into the complexities of family and how, you know, no matter what, there's always this undercurrent of love. And she wrote at a time when her own mother had just received a cancer diagnosis. And so she was actually flying back and forth to Winnipeg quite a bit. And so it's one of those pieces I think it was very meaningful and personal for me, but it was also really personal for Jocelyn too. And it was the first time that I got to work with Sarah Jo Kirsch, the soprano, who's just, I mean, what a force of nature, you know, to be able to work with someone like that.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, they performed the orchestral work. I think I Am Amanda Todd, when I was there, you know, and I was just thinking, you know, that also, it's about you know, a young woman who was bullied, and you know, I mean, it ends very, very tragically. But it seems like that does have resonance, you know, with Jocelyn, maybe this idea of younger people needing protection or you know, being vulnerable.
Yeah, actually, I never thought. It's funny, I didn't really think about it that way. But yeah, it is something that keeps coming back. I don't know. But yeah, there are really interesting ties between forgiveness and My Name is Amanda Todd. So, I
Yeah,
think
interesting.
Jocelyn was somebody who was she was really somebody who was concerned with like justice, you know, and truth, and even if it was uncomfortable at times, you know. So I think it was those are themes that I think they keep coming back up in our music.
Thank you. this the first album of her music to come out since her passing?
That I know of, yeah. Yes, it is. And it was actually imagined as like a kind of the first of multiple stages of recordings. So I'm actually helping the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra produce their album as well. They recorded a bunch of Jocelyn's orchestral music a couple of years ago. And so I'm helping them through the final post-production stages of that. So that's been exciting as well. And so like that's sort of envisioned as like that's going to be coming out later in the year. And then we're looking into doing projects of like, some more of her chamber music, her vocal music. So I think we're sort of ultimately we're hoping that this is going to be sort of like the first of 4 or 5 albums of her music. What is it? So yeah, it features the flute primarily because, well, me. But also so I think the first piece is called Salamander, and it's written for flute octet, and that's a really sort of, I mean, for me that's really a fun story because I used to run a professional flute ensemble in Vancouver, and there's a similar ensemble that's being run in Montreal, and it was being directed by Véronique Lacroix, who was the artistic director of Ensemble Contemporain de Montréal, and we actually banded together. We did these concerts every couple of years. We do these concerts, and we were commissioned 4 Canadian composers, and have a like sort of like an overarching theme. And the idea is like we perform this concert in Montreal, and we perform it in Montreal and then in Vancouver. And Jocelyn was part of a concert called the Four Elements, and we asked 4 different Canadian composers to each write a piece that was inspired by one of the four elements. So, earth, air, water, fire. And Jocelyn chose fire. And so she thought it'd be fun to sort of look at the salamander, not the amphibian that we know, but like the mythological salamander, which is sort of the predecessor to the dragon. And it was like sort of it was connected to this idea of elemental fire. And so this piece is actually quite playful, and it's got a lot of sort of very playful, fiery elements, I think. Like it really uses this idea of, I don't know, it uses the flutes in a very sort of dazzling kind of way, I think. It's very colorful writing. So that's the opener of that's the opener of the album.
Thank you.
From there, it becomes a little more intimate. There's a solo flute piece called Velour that she wrote, and that's one of the first, I think that's the first time I actually met her was in 1998. And we talked about, I just sort of finished grad studies and I came back to Vancouver and I was like, I've heard about this person named Jocelyn Morlock who was studying at UBC. And yeah, we kind of hit it off. She co-wrote it for me, and, or rather, it was co-commissioned by myself and Chinua Anderson.
Thank you.
just really grateful for the opportunity to be able to do this, you know? I think when we, I mean, for me, it was a way of working through a lot of grief. And I feel like for people who are really close to us, we don't often get an opportunity like this, you know? Like this was, for me, it was a very sort of, it was a very concrete project that I knew was there that I could return to, and to sort of see it finally come to fruition. There's something really, there's something really satisfying about that, you know? And I'm really grateful that she wrote these pieces. I'm grateful that she wrote for me, but also I'm really grateful for all these other pieces on the album that were written for other people because, you know, it brings us all together as a community a little bit more. So I don't know. Yeah, it was a really, it was a real emotional project. There's a lot of times I'm sitting there listening to all the different takes. I'm just crying. But you know, I think it was good crying. It helped me actually work through a lot of stuff. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to sort of like, you know, to talk to her again in a certain way, you know, to have that sort of connection. Because I think, you know, anyone who's worked through it, you know, the death of a loved one or is working through grief, you know, your relationship fades with that person over time, or you know, it becomes a little more distant. I sort of feel like, you know, that connection I have with Jocelyn is actually still quite potent because of this project.
Thank you.
And that last work I played is a piece called Verdigris, and that is an arrangement of the second movement of the work Twilight. So we heard the first movement of Twilight earlier in the program, and then at the end of the program here, we hear a different arrangement of the second movement of that piece. And Verdigris is a piece that Jocelyn came back to time and time again and arranged for her friends. So it seemed like a really fitting way to cap off the program. It's also the last track on the album, Artemis Sleeps. So do look for that, the music of Jocelyn Morlock. The one thing I didn't play is a gigantic, wonderful wind quintet called Unfurl that you should definitely check out. It's a 24-minute piece, a monumental wind quintet by Jocelyn Morlock. And as we heard from Mark McGregor, there will be more recordings of Jocelyn's music on the way, so look out for those. Thanks to Mark McGregor for being the guest on my program today and for keeping the music of Jocelyn Morlock alive. Relevant Tones is a production of Access Contemporary Music, a nonprofit organization with the mission of bringing musical creativity to life every day. Find out more at acmusic.org. For Relevant Tones, I'm Seth Bosted. Thanks so much for listening.